RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 140 with guest Rhonda Layfield, recorded Thursday, December 17th, 2009. Run As Radio is produced each week by Quap Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow the boys on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. You're listening to Run As Radio. With me, as always, my co-host, and much less hungover than me, Greg Hughes.
Hey, how's it going? Merry freaking Christmas,
Merry
man.
Christmas, my friend.
Christmas party?
Why, yes, it was a Christmas party, actually.
Uh-huh. Nothing wrong with that.
So I wake up 45 minutes ago in a strange bed, naked, with my dog sleeping beside me.
And then sends me a text message that says, but my underwear is wet.
Yeah. And as I sort of slide out of bed going, what the fuck time is it? What am I going to do? I find my soaking wet underwear beside me on the floor.
I'm going to guess you swam.
Hot tub.
Hot tub.
Yeah.
There you go. Sounds like a good night.
Obviously, because I can't see my clothes anywhere. I obviously walked home from the neighbor's place in my soaking wet underwear. And I'm going to bet that...
I'll give you $1,000 for that picture.
I'm going to bet that my wife intercepted me at the front door and stuck me in the guest room. Like, I am not sleeping with you tonight. And the only reason I know that for sure is at that moment where I sort of stand up naked, standing on my soaking wet underwear, I see my robe over the end of the bed, which is her kindness to me. It says, yes, you're naked and you have teenage daughters. So for Christ's sake, put something on.
Hey, I think she gets a gold star for letting you in the house.
Yeah, well, and just stuffing me in the guest room. And obviously the dog loves me more, so the dog was sleeping beside me. But she's gone, right? Like, literally, I've woken up to an empty house. And
hopefully it was your wife and not your teenage daughters that had to escort you in the front door.
Oh, yeah, that'd be interesting.
Well, no, and they've done that before. You know, this is the thing is, like, my children, however, no illusions about me, right? Like... the younger one, who's actually very, very good at that, is the one who shepherded me across Cuzco, Peru, back to the room when I discovered the Pisco Sour, which, you know, which at an altitude of 11,000 feet is very potent. But I opened this whole thing with Greg where I said, you know, everybody has experienced the fact that if you're on the conference circuit, when you meet me, you realize that I'm a good drinker. I go to a lot of bars and I could be out all night and I'm generally the guy who will carry people home. And I understand why I have that skill. It is my neighbors. I have been in training for years. My neighbors are the worst influence you can imagine.
It's all relative.
Like, the fact that I went to the next door neighbor's place's Christmas party and ended up drinking all night and ending up in another neighbor's hot tub at God knows, maybe 4 a.m. I'm guessing because I obviously did not look at a clock, but I'm pretty sure I didn't get out of one neighbor's place until 2 last night.
So. You know, I don't know if they still do it, but Playboy used to do an annual ranking of the top like 25 party colleges, you know, party schools. And Missouri, which is where I went to college, always used to be at the top. But then back in like 86 or 87 or so, they came out with the ranking and Missouri wasn't even on there. But then in fine print down at the bottom with a little asterisk, it said, sorry, Missouri, we no longer rank professionals.
Right.
So I think that might be a term that could apply to you.
Well, and that's the thing is I have a professional drinking neighborhood. These people are past bad influence into you are a fool to go to this party if you do not expect to be hungover the next day.
Right.
And the sad part, of course, is that I just tipped out of bed at 8:30 and knew what to do. Hop through a shower, big glass of water, couple of aspirin, tea, like, I'm ready to go. Let's do this.
On with life.
Yeah.
Well, you sound great. You don't sound hungover.
Yeah, I've come to appreciate that my hangover voice is the perfect radio voice.
No, he doesn't sound hungover because every time you've ever talked to him, he was hungover.
Yeah, maybe that's it, actually.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Like we say, it's all relative. You
Nobody can tell if you're hungover if you're always hungover.
All right, let's do a show.
You know what, Brandon? You can leave that in, actually. Let's do the intro around that. Because this is the Christmas show. Why shouldn't it be in there?
Thank God for Christmas parties. There you go. Yeah.
The Christmas party show.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Enough of me. Let's get to our guest. It's Rhonda Layfield, our friend Rhonda Layfield.
Good old Rhonda.
Good morning, guys.
Great to talk to you again, Rhonda. I mean, I've read your bio before. You spent time in the U.S. Navy, top secret clearance, and then somehow you ended up in the world of the Microsoft technology, which, I don't know, I think the Navy lost out on that deal, actually.
Well, it's funny because I actually worked with Microsoft Technologies when I was in the Navy.
Right, right, of course.
That's kind of where I got my feet wet.
Yeah.
Liked it so much, I decided to stick with it.
Just stay in. You just stayed with it ever since. And I can't remember where we met. It was one of the conferences.
I want to say it was Connections, but I'm not 100% certain.
I mean, it's Connections or Tech Ed, one or the other.
It might have been Tech Ed when I did Speaker Idol.
Yeah, right. Well, I think I'd already met you at that point, and you did Speaker Idol in the U.S. and won. And then you did Speaker Idol in Europe the same year, because the rules only say you can't have ever spoken at Tech Ed. And at that point, you hadn't spoken at Tech Ed, even though you'd won U.S. Tech Ed, and you won Europe as well, which is unprecedented, of course.
And they were both fantastic.
And I think the first time I met you was at Tech Ed in the U.S. That was the first time.
Great shows.
Wasn't this year the year that you did, you spoke at Tech Ed U.S. and Tech Ed Europe with your sort of winning ticket?
I did, and I was so excited and so nervous, I somehow ended up in the hospital the week before Tech Ed U.S. and had to demand to be let out. I practically discharged myself with the doctor saying, no, wait, you can't go. And I'm like, give me drugs and I'll go.
I just
needed some painkillers there. And so, yeah, I actually did my talks on Vicodin. So they were fun. I couldn't tell you what I said, but they went over pretty well. The evaluations were very good. And then it was better in Europe when I wasn't on anything. And one of my talks actually ranked 31 out of the, I guess, 400 or so 400. That they had. So it's much better when you're not drugged, I've learned.
Yep.
Speaking of Tech Ed is always a challenge and an adventure. No two ways about that.
It's definitely a high pressure situation for a speaker, especially if you haven't spoken there before.
It is very exciting.
So what are we talking about today?
I love talking about deployment. Deployment's one of my favorite topics, the Microsoft deployment tools, actually.
And you're working on a new book.
I am. I'm working on a new book that I wanted a book where people could get everything they needed to learn about deployment. So it actually starts out talking about, you know, hardware and the Microsoft assessment and planning tool to find out if your hardware meets the requirements. And then it goes into application compatibility and then dives into the tools. We get into Wake, MDT, WDS, USMT. I wanted it to be a book where you could just pick it up and it would be kind of everything you need to know about deployment in one place.
Microsoft is bad for this. They make so many things, you don't know which one to use.
And everything's so different because you've got all these different teams working on different technologies,
right.
And they use different terminology. And so when you pick up documentation, you think, okay, I understand the terms now. And then you pick up documentation for the next tool, and it's all different. And you're like, okay, this is hard.
So, Rhonda, maybe we should start at the top. You know, let's go through all these different products and their role in deployment.
Well, my favorite one is the Windows Automated Installation Kit, or the Wake. And there's a new version out, the Wake for Windows 7. It's also referred to as Wake 2.0. So right there is a little confusion as to what the name of the tool is.
Right.
But this tool is the nuts and bolts for how the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit does everything. So if you understand the Wake and how you can manually create an image and put drivers inside that image and then deploy the image and patch it, then you understand what the MDT is doing under the hood, which is critical if you're ever going to troubleshoot something. So starting with the Wake and doing everything manually, it might take a little bit more time, but you really, really understand those tools along with additional tools that are built on those. So I love the Wake.
And this is not just about deploying out workstations either, right? I mean, I certainly in the web farm world have been always emphasizing you want to do this image-based install for web farms because you need completely consistent machines.
You know, that's a great point. Last year I did some consulting at a very large federal agency, not to mention any names.
Yeah.
And we were deploying 50,000 Vista machines, and then we also did some servers. I was helping them with their servers, and we ended up using ImageX, which is one of the tools inside the Wake. We had a fat server image with all kinds of applications, hardware tools, and everything already installed in it. I could lay it down in 7 minutes.
No kidding.
No, the first time I did it, I thought, oops, something went wrong. That can't be right.
I've definitely had that experience with some of these technologies where when it's done, you're like, there's no way that happened that fast.
Yeah.
That can't be true.
And the neat thing is the tools have been out for quite a while now. It used to be just enterprise clients that could use them or software assurance clients. But now that they've been released to the general public, Microsoft has really stepped up to the plate and given us great user interfaces. The tools are much more streamlined and reliable.
Right.
In the past, there were times when I had to remove the MDT or the BDD back in those days and reinstall it and start from scratch again because it would get to a point where it just wouldn't do anything at all.
Interesting. And I mean, the corollary to this is that Microsoft gives all these tools away.
Yes.
Freely downloadable deployment tools.
Yep, they're
like,
free.
And one of the things I argue is that one of the reasons people don't know about these is they are free. You know, if you at least were paying for this, if it was Microsoft installation server, then right. I think people would pay more attention to it. It's neglected because it's free.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to cdw.com, there's not a SKU there for buying or for acquiring, you know, Microsoft's installation tools, I guess. That's a good point.
And I think that's why they're doing so many talks that MMS, I was there last year, and going to be there again this coming spring, and TechEd, mm-hmm. and U.S. and Europe. But there are lots and lots of talks on these tools, and if you get to the right level of talk for where you are, you can get any information you want. You can go to a beginner-level talk, a 100 to 200 level. You can go to a 300 level or even 400 when it comes to troubleshooting and network traces, which is one of my favorites to troubleshoot is I love Netmon.
These products actually get that complex that, you know, you can be a real pro in them?
Oh, absolutely. There's actually a certification for the Microsoft deployment tools. It's called the Desktop Deployment Product Specialist, or DDPS.
Huh.
And the cool thing about that is you take one test. I think it might be two now, but when I took it, it was just one exam. And when you pass the exam, you get your DDPS certification. You can go onto Microsoft's site, become a Microsoft partner, you're a DDPS, and then enterprise and SA clients can look at that list and choose from that list for someone to come out and help them do some consulting and help them to learn the tools, and Microsoft pays the bill.
Huh, interesting.
You can't beat that.
Rhonda, I mean, you're a pro in this area. What, you're writing a book, right, on this topic? Can we step outside of just the Microsoft tools for a few minutes? Because there's an awful lot of third parties that have built, think about the big picture. There's a lot of commercial tools out there that you can buy in addition to the free Microsoft tools. So what, I mean, if somebody's just the average IT person trying to figure out how to get started on this, what is the landscape? I mean, if there's stuff that's worth paying for and then there's the free Microsoft stuff, how am I supposed to evaluate all this stuff against each other and understand what I can do and what I need?
That's a really difficult thing for people to do because unless they know the pros and the cons about the paid for applications versus the Microsoft applications, they've all got good things and bad things. They all have bugs. Nothing's perfect. They're all written by human beings.
Right.
But when it comes down to it, a lot of tools, I've worked with Altiris in the past, I've worked with Ghost in the past, and back when I was working with the tools, those were the only ones that existed. There's a ton of them out there now, but you need to look at what needs to happen in your environment. Exactly what do you need to do? What do you need to deploy? Do you need to be able to deploy applications after the operating system has been installed? So 6 weeks later, you decide, oh, now I want to deploy this application. The newest version of the MDT actually lets you do that.
Really? So it's more of a push-down model that I can go push changes down.
Yeah, it's really cool. You can do registry changes. You can run anything you want.
But it's this is not about deploying patches, right? I mean, we've got Windows Update services for that.
Well, we have Windows Update services for that, but you can patch your image. So you could actually add your patches to the MDT, and then when it deploys the OS, it automatically patches it at the same time.
But that's only for deployment. I couldn't actually put a patch into my image and then push that image out to everybody.
I haven't tried to do that yet, so I can't say yes or no to that one. Now you've got me doing a to-do list here.
There you go, yeah.
I'll but, definitely have to go try that.
It feels a little gratuitous to do that. That would be some kind of overkill on this.
Well, I mean, Windows Software Update Services is for stuff that's already deployed, right? And making sure that stays up to date in a controlled manner. You know, but what if I deploy an image, the time between the time an image is deployed and the time that it actually gets updated by WSUS, you know, that could be, depending on if there's a vulnerability, that could be a critical period from a security standpoint, right?
Exactly.
Or if there's a hotfix or a patch that needs to go in for a functionality change that's necessary for a business, then, you know, maybe it is good to try to push that into the image and deploy it right up front.
You know, I think one of the larger things here is just coping with all of the images that a large installation needs for different platforms. I mean, you know, you've got all these different chunks of software based on your user, but don't you also
drivers,
have to manage different sets of drivers?
You know, and that's one of the most beautiful things about the MDT now. I know I want to talk about the other tools as well, but they've done such a cool job with the MDT, and that's the MDT 2010. The older ones don't do what I'm about to tell you, is when you dump your drivers in, you can now create folders. So when you're looking at the user interface, you can create a folder under the drivers folder that says Lenovo. Underneath that, you could create one that says T61P. And then you could just dump all your drivers for that one model into that folder, which is really cool because in the past, you dumped all your drivers into one great big container and good luck trying to find anything. It was a real confusing nightmare to look at that.
Does that just impact it from an organizational standpoint? Is that just for the person who has to look at it? Or is that actually segregating the drivers that will get deployed to any specific model of laptop or computer that you're deploying to?
That specific feature just helps the person who's looking at it, but there's something else called selection profiles that allows you to actually control which drivers get put into which image. And what's really cool is you could tell it, okay, create a selection profile, and I want all my drivers from every single folder I have.
Okay.
And then if you wanted to add just your NIC drivers to your Windows pre-installation environment, the WinPE that actually boots the machine and gets it up and running and connected to the network,
yeah,
you could tell that in the MDT with one check mark, okay, so look at all these drivers, just grab the NIC drivers. That's it. So they've done some fantastic things that make this product really flexible now.
Now that's it's awesome, really. I'm very impressed with where we are at the moment. So what do you see folks doing in the field in terms of what you put into these deployments? Is it literally all the operating system and all of the apps is pre-installed?
Exactly. But the nice thing about if you're doing it with the MDT, it's kind of like you plug in your applications, and then when you create something called a task sequence, that's when you say, take that one operating system, Windows 7 Enterprise, take those four applications out of the 60 I've added, take that driver group for the Lenovo T61Ps, and then deploy that. So your task sequence is actually what goes and grabs just the exact things you want for that one little deployment, so you don't have to have a whole bunch of images. You could have just one install.wim sitting there that deploys Windows 7 Enterprise or Ultimate. And then based on the task sequence, it's kind of like a puzzle. You just take the different pieces and plug them in, and then you're good to go.
Awesome. Yeah, this is exactly the way you want to think about this going forward.
Yeah, because it's nice. You know, when you have to come back and change something later, if you have a fat image, so everything is inside that one WIM file, it's really difficult to take things out. You have to mount it and remove things and hope you didn't break anything and then unmount it and then possibly turn it into an ISO again, which MDT does all this for you. You don't have to know how to do that.
And that's the biggest thing I found with folks is that their images get stale, that you need new drivers, you need new versions of the applications and so forth, and the work to start over, it's just not worth it.
Yeah, updating your existing, as long as it's healthy, you save a lot of time.
That used to be such a nightmare, right?
Yeah.
They'd have to deploy the image to a machine, make their changes, and then pretty much create a brand new image. And you're talking a whole day, if not two sometimes, of troubleshooting a new application. It didn't work properly. It was just a nightmare. Now there's no deploy the image, fix it, and create a new one. There's no reason to do all that.
And can you build images where I already have the operating system deployed on the machine, I just want to deploy the apps?
Absolutely. You can now. And that's with MDT. In the past, you could only do that with Config Manager.
Okay.
Which, of course, we all know you got to pay for that guy.
Right. Back to what does Microsoft actually sell?
That's System Center Configuration Manager, right?
Yes. I keep telling them I want to come up with a new acronym for it. I think Conman would be a good one, but they won't know.
Occasionally, you get a line that shows that the person we're talking to doesn't actually work for Microsoft.
Yeah.
That's why I can tell the truth about the products. And they're fantastic. When I say
Absolutely.
Tell the truth, I can tell you some little things that happen. And I've got a website up and running, www.deploymentdoctor.com. And I'm putting kind of crib notes out there so that people don't waste days and days worth of troubleshooting time like I did. If they just go to that website and look at, oh, how do you install the MDT? How do you configure it? What happens if I did this versus that? Oh, it's right here on that page. So I'm trying to share my foupas and all the crazy things I've done that have taken me days and days to figure out so other people don't have to bang their head against the wall like I did.
Yep. Those of us that spend our time having to learn from our own mistakes, even though somebody else has learned from theirs, there are people out there that will learn from our mistakes. So that's cool that you're making a resource like that.
And is it just a summary of all of your knowledge around those sorts of mistakes?
It's not really going to be a summary. I'm trying to make it so ideally what I'd like to do is have two kind of companion sites. One for if you're brand new to the tool, go to this page, and here's the step-by-steps by picture. Lots of screenshots in there so they can look and say, okay, I'm in the right place. Now on this screen, I'm supposed to do this. Okay, and then, oh, look, I got this screen. And then I wanted to do another site, which I haven't started yet, but I want that for people who already know how to do it, and it's not going to be picture-driven. It's going to be just bottom line, boom, 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 this is how you do it. These are the problems you can run into. Here's how to fix them.
Awesome.
I'm hoping to get on that pretty soon.
Is that site up and running now?
The deploymentdoctor.com is, but it's not completely done. I've just got a couple people who have offered to help with that. I've been spending all my time writing the book. So spending time writing the book hasn't given me a lot of time left over to get everything on the website the way I want it. But I do have a couple pages that do have information on them. Installing MDT is there. I almost have the configuration and deploying your first image finished. That should be up by next Friday.
Cool. Very cool. So, Rhonda, just to be clear, that's deploymentdr.com, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, cool. Very cool. Great new resource, then. That'll be fun to watch.
So, going a bit beyond all of this so far, are there other tools that folks have to deal with for doing deployment around Microsoft technologies?
Well, there's Windows Deployment Service.
Right.
And that ships right in the box with Server 2008 R2.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Can't get any easier than that. You just add it as a role.
Windows Deployment Service. The other one was the Deployment Toolkit. So what's the difference?
The difference is how the images are actually created and added to the tool.
Okay.
And then how they're deployed. Windows Deployment Service, WDS, can do multicasting of an image. So if you have a whole bunch of machines that need to receive the exact same image,
right.
WDS is the way I would go. But you can also, and this is where it gets confusing, you can hook MDT to WDS so that when you deploy an image from MDT, it actually hands it to the WDS server, and then the WDS server can multicast it out to other clients.
So I might use the MDT to create my images and maintain them, but use WDS to actually do the multicast deployment? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's kind of cool.
And also, if you use WDS, what happens is, the MDT creates a custom Windows pre-installation environment that has all the MDT scripts embedded in it. So you could take that WinPE, add it to your WDS server, then when you go to your client, all you have to do is a network boot. F12 that machine, it connects to the WDS server, it downloads, boots the MDT's WinPE, and in that it knows who the MDT's deployment server is and begins downloading the image. The big difference between the two, I think, right now is, you know, VHDs are brand new, right? The virtual hard disks.
Right.
You can create an image now that's a VHD extension instead of a WIM extension.
Nice.
And one of the things I like about that is if you have multiple partitions or volumes, then a WIM can only be, an image in a WIM can only be one partition.
Right.
So you'd have to have multiple partitions to deploy if you're using WIMs. You know, Windows 7 has a 100 meg partition up front that has WinRE on it, the recovery environment,
right.
And a couple other tools. So just out of the gate, you'd have to have two images there. With the VHD files, you just take a pretty much a snapshot of the entire hard drive, all partitions, and you end up with a VHD that contains multiple partitions, so you just need to deploy the VHD file. And what's different between MDT and WDS, MDT doesn't know what a VHD file is. You can only deploy WIMs. So if you wanted to go with VHD files, then you're going to have to deploy those using Windows Deployment Service.
Oh, okay. So it's really, there's a few different features here as to what you, how you want to do things.
Most people have the issue of which tool do I use, because a lot of times I'll do a talk and I have someone come up and say, okay, now I understand I need to install the Wake, MDT, WDS, and SCCM. Is there anything else I need? And I'm like, whoa. If you've got SCCM, you've got it all. You know, you don't need to add anything to SCCM. Where with WDS and MDT, you can integrate the two for certain reasons, which we've already talked about.
Yeah.
Or you can just go straight MDT or straight WDS.
So if I go straight WDS and I'm not using MDT, am I missing anything from a capability feature functionality standpoint? I mean, am I leaving something behind?
Maintenance of your images is much more difficult. Adding an application, removing an application, that kind of stuff is much more difficult with WDS.
Okay.
With WDS, you actually have to export the image out of WDS, manually patch it, put your drivers in, do whatever it is you choose. You can use the dynamic driver provisioning if you choose, which is a function of WDS. But the actual management of the images later is a lot more difficult in WDS than it is in MDT.
So if I manage my images with MDT and deploy them with WDS, actually ship them to machines, that's sort of that integrated or hybrid approach that you're talking about.
Exactly.
Well, and I mean, one of the strengths of WDS is this VHD option. I mean, I like the idea that I could just mount one of these images and work with it.
Right, and that's the same. You could mount a VHD exactly the same way you would mount a WIM file. So for people who are hearing, oh, wait, what's this VHD thing? You would treat a VHD exactly as you would a WIM file.
Now, isn't this image sort of specialized in the sense that it doesn't have a computer ID profile, no SID or anything in it?
Well, none of your images should actually contain a SID.
Right.
They should be set up so that after you deploy the operating system, then the machine joins the domain.
Right.
So it's kind of a step after the OS is deployed. It's not deploying an OS that's already joined to the domain.
Right. It's part of the first activity thing.
Right.
Are there other first activities that you need to make sure you do besides joining the domain?
Well, I think a lot of companies are interested in patching right up front, which we've already talked about quite a bit.
Right.
Sometimes it might be a while before a machine is actually joined to a domain in large environments.
Yeah.
They might have a technician who wants to come out and manually perform that step. I've seen that a lot with the federal government. So there's a certain period of time where their group policies from the domain are not applied, and patches aren't applied until the machine is joined to the domain.
Right.
So in those situations, I always suggest having the same group policies created in the local machine that you're going to get from your domain controllers once you join the domain, and then always your patches if it's that scenario where there's going to be a period of time where they might not be secure as you need for them to be.
Well, I kind of think that it's advantageous for you to update these images with the patches rather than have them go and get their additional patches on their own when you deploy them.
Well, and that's the nice thing with MDT. MDT, you can just add the patches. They call them packages, which I couldn't understand. Why would you call them packages? I've never called them packages. And I asked the MDT team, and they told me, oh, well, that's because the Windows team refers to them as packages, and we were trying to be consistent.
Yeah.
So here we've been yelling at them, be consistent, be consistent. And then they're consistent, and we're like, why'd you name it that?
Nice.
Well, they even when they're consistent, they still come up with some pretty amazing names sometimes, don't they?
They do. You never know what they're going to come up with next.
No. Yeah.
But I guess if you need to deliver a package, whatever's in that package, you could think of it as a package. You know, if it's a bunch of patches that are in there, if it's features, or if it's what, you know, group policy settings or whatever it is you're putting in there, it still has to be shipped to the destination. So.
Sure.
Right.
And so the ultimate manifestation of all this is the system center deployment and configuration management?
Absolutely. If you own SCCM, then you've kind of got the big daddy is what I always tell people. That's got everything in it.
I mean, this is the product that you actually pay for.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it's worth it. I mean, you can do tons of stuff in SCCM, and the reporting capabilities are fantastic. The control that you have, finding out exactly at what point a machine failed, if it did fail, how many machines were successful. It's just SCCM is really, really a product that it's worth paying for. They've done a fantastic job with it from the old SMS 1.1A days when I used to teach it. Come a long way.
Sure. And so what's the title of the book you're working on?
We haven't actually come up with a title yet. I like Microsoft Deployment Tools, Choose Your Weapon Wisely.
I like Richard and Greg and Rhonda think this is a really cool book, so you should read it.
Nice.
I'm sure they'll go for that. Oh, I have to tell you, I've got some of the coolest tech editors on the planet. I don't know if you've ever heard of Johan Arvidmark?
No.
He's from Sweden, and he is like the deployment god. He knows everything there is to know about the MDT, and he has been gracious enough to be a technical editor for me on the MDT and the SCCM chapter for Zero Touch installations. So it's going to be fantastic to have him along, and I believe Michael Nystrom, one of his partners over at TrueSec in Sweden, is going to be doing tech editing too. So they're going to catch me if I don't get everything exactly right. I guarantee that.
What's up with the Swedish editing core you've got here?
You know, there are other deployment and setup MVPs that I've met over the years, and they're just very active. And Microsoft actually hired Johan to come in and consult on the new version of MDT to make sure everything was being done properly and as well as possible. So, I mean, Johan knows his stuff inside and out. He's just fantastic.
So we don't have a name for this book, but who's the publisher?
The publisher is Cybex.
Cybex, okay.
Good, cool. And do you have granted that's never done until it's done, and Lord knows book writing can have its own schedule, but do you have a ballpark for when it might be available?
We're looking at June, July of next year. I'm trying to push that up. I spent last week a day and a half on one paragraph, which blew me away. I'm like, how can this be so hard?
Yeah.
But I kept reading the paragraph over and over, and it's like, okay, I'm talking in circles. It just didn't make any sense, and it really took me a day and a half on that one silly paragraph. So I would like for it to be available possibly April, but I'm not sure if we're going to make that mark. I really want to get it out because people need the deployment information now.
For
now
sure.
Is when they're going to be looking at it, and it really needs to get on the market.
Yeah, and all the OSs are out for a while, so now is the time to get that book out the door.
Exactly. Yeah,
especially with all the changes that have taken place and all the different tools. But I think there is a need for a Bible to be able to go to
without a
doubt.
To learn about that, yeah.
Yeah.
So with being the Christmas show here, Rhonda, and I know we're just about out of time, and any stories you could tell us about you and that troublemaker guy you hang around with?
Stories? I'm not sure if I'm allowed to tell any stories.
No, I'm looking for the stories you're not allowed to tell. That would be the one I want to put in.
Well, I don't think I have any of those right now. I think this year is going to be a really quiet year. Mark's been traveling a lot, and times. I've been out there traveling with him a bit, and then I've got my own gigs I've been doing as well. So I'm not sure how much we're going to participate in Christmas this year. Isn't that sad?
No, just from a pure just needing to relax sort of perspective.
Absolutely. It's, you know, he's been on the road for about 6 weeks straight.
No kidding.
Yeah, so we're just going to, you know, get to the beach house, sit there, watch the ocean, look at the dolphins in the morning over breakfast, and kind of relax and just breathe for a while.
Unload a little bit. Well, I last saw Mark, it was in Dev Connections, and that was the same week as Tech Ed Europe, and you were still at Tech Ed, and he came over. He was a bit of a mess. Let me tell you, he was a little jet-lagged.
A little jet-lagged? He had to have been horribly jet-lagged. I mean, he flew all day, part of the night. Got there, slept 2 hours, did 4 presentations in one day,
and
I think an interview with you.
Yeah.
I don't think he has any idea what he said in any of them.
No,
he just
no.
stood there, and his mind just, you know, spat words out of his mouth.
Well, and yeah, he got to me at the end, right? He was he was definitely in a state. It was hilarious.
He got him at his best.
But yeah, apparently he knocked out a great keynote speech. The audience loved it.
Oh, wonderful. They love him. The Connections is one of his favorite to do. They sure do like him there. A lot of our forum members go to Connections, so we get to talk to them all year long.
Well, I'm hoping one of these days you guys will do a session together, because it'd just be this powerhouse matchup. I think both of you, you know, so deeply embedded in the Windows IT stack, I think it'd be awesome to see you work together.
Well, I think that would be fun. We'll have to pitch something.
Yeah, you bet. Well, Rhonda, I think we're about out of time. Any final words, things that folks should be looking at besides your book and deploymentdoctor.com?
Well, I want to mention one thing. If you have looked at the deployment tools in the past and they, one, didn't work for you, two, was too hard to figure out, or three, the documentation was wrong, it's worth another look.
It's time
go back, take one more peek at them. These tools rock. And there's lots of other websites out there. DeployVista.com, that's another fantastic website. That's Johan's. There's all kinds of great tips and tricks in there. And he tweaks things to do all kinds of crazy stuff that Microsoft won't support, but Johan gets it to work. So if there's any crazy thing you want to do to a WinPE or do to an image, I'll bet you step-by-steps are already on Johan's site. So there's lots of additional places to go look for information now. It's all over, and it's pretty good information.
Awesome. Yeah, when you said deployvista.com, I thought it was always the webpage that said, don't do it!
Oh, he should change to Windows 7, shouldn't he?
Just won't stop.
Yeah. Who deployed Vista?
Yeah.
I ran it and had no problems. I've been running 64-bit Vista for,
Apparently, you and Mark are the only ones.
I've had no problems at all.
Yeah, there you go.
But I like Windows 7 a lot better.
Oh, the 64-bit version of Windows 7 is a lovely, lovely thing.
It really is. You know, the jump lists are my favorite thing. I know it's a dumb thing to say, but I love the jump list. When I first saw that my recent documents was gone, I panicked. I'm like, how could they take away my recent? I lived by my recent documents. And then when I got used to the jump list, when I could just right click and see the whole everything I'd open in Word, or the last 10 to 15 items I'd open in Word, man, I love that. It's so much nicer.
Yeah, it's a great step forward.
I know several people that have installed Windows 7 on their primary machines in the last couple months or so, since it came out, was several weeks ago. And universally, all these people who are just huge critics of Vista and complained about Windows XP all the time are just loving Windows 7. So that's got to mean something.
Yeah, I think if they give it a shot, they're going to love it.
Thanks, Rhonda.
Well, thank you, guys. Have a Merry Christmas.
You too. And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.